present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
I've got them taped.
But Alfie, what made you buy a tape recorder like this? I thought they were very expensive.
Oh, it isn't new, Susan. That's why when the man said he wanted £30 for it, I thought I must be careful how I use my head here because it's only reconditioned.
Well, nobody'll notice if you keep your cap on.
Not me head reconditioned, the tape recorder. The reason I mentioned using me head was because it's only guaranteed for 3 months.
Who told you that? The doctor?
Oh, be quiet. I must say, Alfie, £30 seems a lot of money, even for a tape recorder. Well, what did you buy it for?
Yeah, for £1 down and £5 bob a week. Oh, I see what you mean, Susan. No. Well, we can record all our favourite pop singers on the radio and then listen to them when they're not singing. Well, I mean, they will be singing, otherwise we wouldn't hear them, but not the singing they sang before, if you see what I mean.
All we saw was your tongue doing the twist.
Oh, shut up. Well, Alfie, it sounds quite a good idea, and we could record our own voices as well.
Yes, you could sing duets, only instead of Mickey and Griff, you'd sound more like Croaky and Gruff.
Very funny. Alfie, if we're going to the dance, I'd better get ready.
You're right, old Susan. Hey, Jimmy, where's a safe place to put my tape recorder before I go?
Oh, in the cupboard. Aren't you taking it with you?
I've nowhere to carry it. You see, Susan will be on my pillion, and I can't strap it on behind her because I get in trouble with the police for not showing the red light on my rear. Get on the back of Susan's big end. Get on the back of me bike. Where can I put it?
Leave it with me, Alfie. I know how to work a tape recorder. I'll show you.
Yeah, you leave it alone.
But, Alfie, I only want to show you I'm good at some things. I mean, you want to be sure that when you marry our Susan, you don't find yourself lumbered with a brother-in-law as daft as yourself.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I think.
It's in safe hands with me. Look, I'll prove it. I'll wind the tape back and we'll see if there's anything we can listen to. Now, I'll switch on the playback. Contact.
Well, it seems to be working all right, Bert.
That must be the man in the shop. He said he'd test it while I went to move me bike for the policeman.
Shh, quiet.
I thought we'd never sell it. But when this bloke with a crash helmet walked in, I said to myself, here's a nice plump chicken just ready for plucking.
Hey, who does he think he's talking about?
I'm not saying, Alfie, but the next time you feel ill, don't be surprised if you've got foul pest. Grandad, why don't you stop and listen? Look, I've got it all rigged up.
But I've told you, Jimmy, I've got to go to the Rose and Crown. Tonight's the annual smoking concert and I'm the compere.
Well, if you want some new jokes, listen to this tape recording of me mum and Mr. Craythorpe. You'll get the biggest laugh you've had since you sat on your spurrin.
Oh, go on then. But I've only just got a minute or two.
Listen to this. They didn't know I was recording it.
Theodore. You're not pulling my leg, are you?
I assure you it's true. I was in Heritage's store trying to find my sister, but unfortunately I opened the wrong door and found myself in the ladies' changing room.
What? Oh, trust that ninny to do a thing like that.
Shh, quiet. Listen to the bit about the fat lady.
And you say there was someone in there, Theodore?
Yes, a rather stout lady was trying on a dress. Actually, she'd got it on, but that didn't stop her attacking me with her brolly.
Oh, Jim, I don't know that I should be listening to this, but I'm glad I am.
The next item on the tape is you snoring your head off at 3 o'clock this morning.
Come in, Theodore.
Thank you. Oh, hello, James. Mr. Sinclair.
Well, if it isn't Peeping Tom Craythorpe himself.
I beg your pardon.
Father, what on earth are you talking about?
Well, I've just been listening to a tape recording Jimmy made. Theodore Craythorpe meets the fat lady.
Oh, no, Jimmy, you little hooligan.
Shh, quiet, ma'am. Listen to this tape recorder. I think it's Mr. Craythorpe singing next. Listen.
Not at all, Miss Craythorpe. Nice of you to phone. Theodore's just gone back. He's gone out, you see, for some cigarettes. Yeah, well, I'll tell him when he gets back. Yes, Miss Craythorpe. Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course, Miss Craythorpe. Well, goodbye, Miss Craythorpe. Susan, Theodore's sister's very nice, but honestly, she could talk the hind leg off a donkey.
Oh, that was you, ma'am. Caruso Craythorpe must be further along.
I don't want to hear any more.
But, ma'am, you'll like it. He's helping you to wash up and singing Nymphs and Shepherds.
I belong to Glasgow.
But that isn't my voice.
Jimmy, switch that thing off.
But, ma'am, that's Grandad coming home from the pub last night. You'll hear him snoring in a minute.
I told you to switch it off.
Oh, all right, ma'am.
Theodore, I wasn't being rude about your sister.
I know you weren't, but I suggest you keep quiet when James is around, otherwise your next family quarrel will end up on jukebox jury.
You'll tell Susan I'll call around later, will you, Jimmy?
All right, Alfie. I'll tell Susan the spaniel as soon as she returns to the dog's home. Are you taking your tape recorder?
Well, I wasn't going to, but perhaps I should after all the bother you've just told me about. So wonder your granddad didn't spank you with an empty beer bottle.
Alfie, granddad wouldn't do that. He might have broken it and lost the tuppence back. Hello, that's Mr. Whittle's knock. Hello, Mr. Whittle. Come in.
Sorry, Jim. Is your mind, Jim?
No, she's still out shopping. Can I give her a message?
Well, no, Jim. I wanted to see her for a private talk. What the French call a tatty-tat.
Well, you can come in and wait if you like.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Oh, hello, Alfie. And what's all those Mr. Wonderful doing here, eh?
Yeah, well, I've called to tell Jimmy to tell Susan I've been, but I've gone, because she wasn't here when I was, and I had to leave before she got back, because it's bodybuilding night tonight.
Come again, Alf.
Alfie's trying to tell you he's started going to bodybuilding classes, and it's doing him good as well.
Well, you could have fooled me, Jim.
Well, yeah, it's true, and I've only been going 3 weeks.
Yes, and already he can bend a stick of rhubarb.
Oh, but I better have to soften it up with the custard first.
Hey, are you two trying to take the mickey?
Oh, of course not, Alf. Go on, show us your muscles.
Oh, he won't do that. He showed them to our Susan once, and she thought they were goose pimples.
I'm not stopping here to be made fun of. If you want to mock me to my face, you can do it behind me back after I've gone.
Well, hello, Alfie. Ooh, it's cold today. Would you both like a cup of tea?
Yeah, not for me, thanks. I don't have to stay here and be insulted. There's plenty of other places I can go to.
Alfie, what's the matter?
I'm afraid we've been pulling his leg, Pat, and he got his paddy up. You know, I didn't realise Alfie was so sensual.
Come on, Alfie. I'll walk to your bike with you. I won't be long, Mum.
Right, well, come in the living room, Harry.
Oh, thanks, Pat. I'm glad I've got you alone for a few minutes, because I've got something I want to discuss with you.
Yes?
It's something private and consequential.
Oh, I see. Well, what is it?
Well, you remember me telling you about that widow woman who works in our office? The one I got a bit pally with.
Oh, yes, I remember. Her name's Mrs. Bell, Ethel, isn't it?
That's the one, yes. Well, lately I've started treating her to the odd night out, you know. Dog races, boozers, bingo. Well, to cut a long story sideways, I've been wondering, like, whether the time has come for me to stop being an eligible bachelor.
You mean to get married? To Ethel?
Well, I admit she's no Venus de Bilko. But we do get on well together, and I'm no longer a headstrong youth. Well, I've reached the years of distraction.
Yes, but I mean, think what she'll be taking on. I mean, for one thing, she has a grown-up son, hasn't she?
Oh, well, he's a bit of a problem, that lad. Do you know, he's turned 21 and still hanging about the house. But I'm sure he'd benefit by the marriage, because all he needs is a fatherly hand round his ear hole. Well, what do you think, Pat?
Well, to be honest with you, Harry, I can't say whether Ethel's the right woman for you, but I've often thought you'd make an ideal husband for somebody. I mean that.
Oh, that's good. They've left the door open. Now, I'll just plug it in and creep a bit nearer, and I'm all ready to start recording.
Well, what do you say, Pat? Do you think my suggestion of marriage is a good one or not?
I'm all for it, Harry. You'll make a wonderful husband, I'm certain of that.
Hey, what's going on in there?
Oh, Pat, you're a sweetheart. I'd give you a kiss if Jim's goldfish wasn't looking.
Oh, go on with it. But I wasn't really surprised when you came round and asked me. I had a feeling you'd been thinking about it for some time.
Well, I knew that if I was going to ask anybody, Pat, you were the one. You know, I feel as if we ought to celebrate this. Have you got any booze in the house? After all, Pat, there is a wedding involved.
Oh, heck, that's the back door. I'd better go in case somebody comes in. Be quiet, I'm coming. Yes, what is it?
Does your mother want any bread, Jimmy?
I don't know. Come back tomorrow.
Why, ain't your mother in?
She's in the living room making a recording.
Look, I don't know what the joke is, and I haven't got time to find out. Go and ask her what she wants.
I can't go and ask her. She's getting married.
Look, I'm delivering nothing without a definite order. Now, what do you want?
Well, give us a couple of loaves, 6 chocolate eclairs, and a wedding cake decorated with marzipan and scouse.
I feel as if we ought to celebrate this. Have you any booze in the house? After all, Pat, there is a wedding involved.
Well, there you are, you two. Mum's getting married. Alfie, if you lend me 0.5 crown, I'll start the collection for the wedding present.
Oh, shut up. This is no time to be funny.
Alfred is right, James. You don't seem to realise the seriousness of the situation. If they go through with this, you will have to call that lout Whittle father.
Well, what do you expect me to call him, Auntie Nellie? It'll be grand having Mr. Whittle for a dad. I mean, he earns plenty of money and he likes me. Hey, I'll bet if I talk to him nicely, he'll get married during school holidays and take me with him on his honeymoon.
Don't talk daft. You can't take your son on your honeymoon.
Why not?
Well, because when two people go on an honeymoon, they don't want anybody to... Look, honeymoons are for... You go away so you can... Well, you can't walk into an hotel and say, I'm here on my honeymoon and this is my son now, can you?
Why not?
Because you've just got married. You're not supposed to have a... Mr. Craythorpe, will you tell him?
Look, James, all I have to say is this. Mr. Whittle may be all right as a neighbour, but once he became your stepfather, I'm sure you'd live to regret it.
But he likes me. I know he does. Alfie's the one he can't stand.
You what?
He calls you Alfred the Great, twit.
Oh, does he?
Yes, and I'll bet he'll stop your fun and games in the front room with our Susan. When he takes over, you'll be lucky if you're doing your smooching in the coal shed.
James, will you please stop teasing Alfred?
Teasing him? I'm dead serious. Mr. Whittle said he'll make our Susan give up Alfie and get herself a man.
Whittle will have to reckon with me first.
He won't let you marry her. He said you're a twit as well.
I don't wish to marry your Susan.
That's the first sensible thing you've said up to now.
That will do, James. When I said Whittle will have to reckon with me, I meant I shall do all in my power to prevent this foolish marriage. Although I still can't believe they mean to go through with it.
Listen, I'll wind it back and play it again.
Well, what do you say, Pat? Do you think my suggestion of marriage is a good one or not?
I'm all for it, Harry. You'll make a wonderful husband, I'm certain of that.
I feel as if we ought to celebrate this. Have you any booze in the house? After all, Pat, there is a wedding involved.
There you are. Wacker proposed and my mum accepted.
Hey, what's that knocking? It's my tape recorder. It's going funny already. You're broken, Ned.
Alfie, that was the bread man knocking on the back door. I left the tape running while I went to answer it.
Mind you, Pat, I still mean what I said about the lad.
Hey, listen, he's talking about me.
As soon as the wedding's over, he's going to get slung out of the house.
Hey!
Well, I'm sure you know best, Harry.
It's time that lazy young skiver started earning his keep. He's had things far too easy.
Alfie, Mr. Craythorpe, did you hear that? Mr. Whittle says he's going to sling me out of the house and make me work. And Mum agreed with him. She doesn't love me anymore.
Look, Jimmy, there's only one thing you can do. If you tell your granddad about this, Mr. Whittle might not be allowed to marry your mother because your granddad will be annoyed because Mr. Whittle didn't ask him first.
Don't be daft. Granddad doesn't want to marry Mr. Whittle.
Alfred means we just enlist your grandfather's aid in preventing Whittle marrying your mother. Surely he will put a stop to it.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, Mr. Whittle's granddad's drinking pal. And you know what they say? Beer's thicker than water.
James, I don't think I should interfere, you know.
Look, I'll need you to hold Grandad down while I tell him about the wedding. He'll be like a mad bull. He'll want to stick his bagpipes in Whittle's ear and blow his head off.
Oh, very well. After you.
Oh, heck. He's off again. Rip Van Mack Winkle.
James. We'd better not wake him if he's asleep.
If he's asleep? What do you think that noise is, Thunder?
It is rather loud, isn't it?
You should hear him at night when everything's quiet. The woman next door thought he was sawing wood in bed. The windows rattle, the walls shake. He's had the television aerial down twice.
Now, James, don't exaggerate. Mind, it does sound like sawing wood.
That's one tree ready for trimming. He's speeding up. He must have oiled his teeth.
James, do stop it.
He's having a breather before he tackles the giant redwood. Timber!
What's that?
Grandad, wake up. Mr. Whittle's going to marry me mum.
Yeah, good.
Mr. Whittle and me mum are getting married.
All right, tell your mother to buy a present. I'll give her the money.
Oh, you dozy old lumberjack. What are you laughing at?
Well, he hasn't gone quite as mad as you suggested. The wild Highland bull seems more like a contented cow.
Here, Jimmy, what did you say about your Whittle and your mother?
Quick, Mr. Craythorpe, get the ring through his nose.
Look, my boy, what's this story you're making up?
Oh, I assure you, Mr. Sinclair, it's no story. For once, James is telling the truth.
That's right, Mr. Craythorpe, but what do you mean, for once?
Oh, I'm sorry, James, I didn't mean that.
Will someone tell me what you do mean?
We don't need to tell you. Just come in the front room and listen to Alfie's tape recorder. Then you'll hear for yourself.
Well, it beats me. I'm staggered. I'm absolutely staggered. I don't know what to say. It's got me dizzy. I feel as though I...
Come back from the Rose and Crown.
Just come back from the Rose and Crown. Oh, don't be funny.
Well, what are we going to do? Mr. Whittle's going to sling me out and send me to work.
Oh, that's silly. You're too young to work.
He doesn't care. You're too old. But he'll probably have you on his building site as the tea boy.
Look, now, if your mother's decided to marry him, that's that.
Your grandfather's right, James. It's none of our business.
Maybe it's none of yours, but I'm related to me, Mum.
But what can she see in him, Theodore?
I can't imagine. Well, he's a rather rough diamond. Not the type I think would attract a lady. She must have had a brainstorm.
Hello? Who's this who's had a brainstorm, then?
Mr. Craythorpe's sister.
My sister.
What do you mean? What's she done?
She...
It was this morning at breakfast, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right, at breakfast. I thought she was acting a little strange.
In what way?
His porridge.
She fried it with two eggs in castor oil.
All right. Now, never mind the jokes. It was nothing, Pat.
Oh, I see. It's some private joke. Well, while you're talking, should I make some tea? Fried with milk?
I would. Oh! Very, very good, Mrs. Clitner.
Pat, we were just talking about Whittle.
No, were you?
Yes, you know, we were saying he's a man's man. Nice fellow, of course, but, well...
A bit rough.
Don't be cheeky.
Mr. Craythorpe said that, not me.
I said a rough diamond.
Well, I like him very much. He's kind and very thoughtful. It's the man himself who matters, not his accent. A woman likes a man for what he is.
Oh, please don't misunderstand me. I think he's a very good man. I only said that...
He wouldn't attract a lady. That's what you said.
Oh, James.
Oh, well, now I know what you think about me, Theodore.
Oh, Mrs. Clitheroe, I assure you, I've never dreamed of saying...
Yes, it. Now look, I don't know why you've all turned on Harry Whittle, but don't start calling him to me. I think he's one of the nicest men I've ever known. So if you've got anything to say against him, say it while I'm making the tea.
Well, a right mess you made of that, Mr. Craythorpe.
I did.
I'm glad you admit it.
Now, that's enough from you, Jimmy. Now, listen, both of you. Now, say no more about Whittle to Pat. You see, the more you call him, the more she'll insist on marrying him.
You know you're right, Mr. Sinclair. I'm afraid nothing will turn her against Whittle.
In that case, we'll turn him against Mum. At least I will.
Now, Jimmy, be careful.
Look, he's not making me one of his navvies. When I finish with Whacker Whittle, he'll think wedding bells sound like a fire alarm. Yes, Mr. Whittle, you're very lucky, living here with your old dad and no women around.
I don't know, Jim. Before my sister got married, she made this a real home. Always laughing and singing. You know, after a few bottles of brown ale, she could do knees up Mother Brown till the house rocked. And the way she could whistle, just stuck two fingers in her mouth and it sounded like the factory hooter. Ah, you don't find many ladies like our Aggie.
Are you sure she wasn't your brother? No, what I mean is, women interfere. Look, you like watching football and wrestling on the telly, don't you?
Oh, do and all. I'm what the posh people call an obituary.
Yes. Well, me mum, for instance, she can't stand those things. If you live with us, instead of Stanley Matthews, you'll be watching Andy Pandy. And when Mick the Mauler was tying somebody's neck in the ropes, you'll be looking at some clot in Swan Lake, strangling himself with his tights.
Well, you can't have everything. I mean, if I was living with you, I might have to give up some of me sporting pursuances. But at least I wouldn't have to do me own cooking.
You would if you had any sense.
Now, don't try and tell me your mother's not a good cook. She's a regular Fanny Addick.
But she's too busy now, and Susan does it.
Well, that's all right. She went to a special school, didn't she, to study desiccated science.
Yes, and when she left, they gave her a cookery book and a stomach pump. The only thing she likes to cook is apple dumplings.
Well, apple dumplings is very nice.
For breakfast. And they're that heavy. Yesterday it took three of us to lift one dumpling onto the table.
Now then, Jim, I'm not going to swallow that.
We didn't swallow it either. Me grandad gave it to Mr. Jackson's Great Dane, and he was nearly arrested for cruelty to animals. A Great Dane, and the dumpling was that heavy, it crawled home looking like a dachshund.
Well, what does she put in them? Lead filings?
I don't know, but ours is the only house in the street with a bow-legged gas stove.
Hey, I'm not kidding, Jim. You're a better storyteller than that woman who wears the hairnet on the telly, Enid Blyton. Well, now, I've got a bit of work to do, Jim, so I must get on with it. Not that I don't enjoy your humorous antidotes. Look, come back later if you want to.
All right, Mr. Whittle, I'll see you after.
Right, yeah. Hey, little wacker. Hey, and bring us a few apple dumplings for me garden. I'm starting the rockery.
He's as funny as a toothache. I'd like to throw the rockery at his head. Oh, sorry, lady.
That's all right, love. You seem to be in a bit of a daydream.
I've got a lot on my mind.
Oh, have you? What is it? The Berlin problem or the price of lollipops?
You ought to team up with Mr. Whittle.
Out of the mouths of children, that's what Harry says. Do you live near here, then?
Next door. My name's Jimmy Clitheroe.
Well, I'm going to be living here soon, so we'll be neighbours. My name's Mrs. Bell. Ethel Bell. At least for the moment, it is.
You're going to live in Mr. Whittle's house? Oh, I suppose you're buying it when he moves in with us after the wedding.
Harry Whittle? Why should he move in with you?
Well, he's going to marry me, ma'am. He asked her yesterday.
He asked your mother? Oh, you're mistaken.
I am not. Me grandad and everybody else heard it.
Well, the Bluebeard. Wait till I see Mr. Harry Whittle.
Why, what's wrong?
Never mind. Just you run along while I have a word with Mr. Whittle in private. Off you go, sonny. Tell your mother to have her wedding dress dyed black.
Yes, Mrs. Bell. See you again. Sometimes I don't understand women at all.
Ethel! Hello, sweetheart. To what do I owe this unexpurgated pleasure?
I've come for the funeral.
Whose funeral?
Yours, you bootle bigamist.
Oh! Hey, what's the smack for?
To match this one.
Hey, have you gone bisected? Look, clear off before I forget I'm a gentleman and belt you one.
I'm going. And don't you ever come knocking on my door again.
If I do, it'll be with an axe. You'd think she was my wife already, and she'd caught me patting the barmaid's bustle.
All right, I'll come in a minute. I've got a message for Mr. Whittle from me dad.
I've got a message I'd like to give him, but I don't think he'd go. Can I sit on your motorbike?
Yeah, but don't mess about with anything. Hey, Mr. Whittle, just a minute.
What is it, Alfie? Hurry up, I'm busy.
My dad wants to know if you'd lend him your blow lamp to paint our front door. Yeah, I mean, to burn it off. The paint, not the door. He'll put it on with a brush, you see, but before he puts it on, he wants to burn it off, the old stuff.
That'll teach him to tell Alfie to hurry up.
One of these days, Alfie, you'll tie your tongue in a knot. I'll have a look for my blow lamp and bring it into Clitheroe's later. At the moment, I just want to have a rest.
What's wrong? You look upset.
I'll tell you what's wrong in two words. Women. Mind you, I've really had a very lucky escape.
What from?
From a feat worse than death. Between you and me and the bedpost, I was going to get spliced. But just in time, I found out what kind of woman she is.
He's talking about me, Mum.
What sort of woman is she?
A loud-mouthed old witch. Proper vulgar. And obviously very bad-tempered in drink. What in the old days they called a harpist.
Right for you, Mr. Blinking Whittle. Just wait till I tell me Grandad. He'll clout you with his claymore. Oh, you're for it. And another thing, Grandad. He says she drinks and she's a witch.
Oh, he did he? Well, just you wait till I get my hands on him.
Now, don't do anything you'll be sorry for, Mr. Sinclair.
The only thing I'm going to do is Whittle, and I won't be sorry for him.
I know he deserves a thrashing, but I don't want to see you get into trouble.
Well, you keep him out of trouble.
How?
Hold Mr. Whittle arms while me grandad hits him.
Just pick him up when he falls, that's all. Calling my daughter vulgar.
And why did he say Mum's a harpist? She can't even play the mouth organ.
Can we come in? The front door was open.
Yes, come quietly, of course.
Come in, Mr. Whittle.
Oh, you as well. Come in, Harry. I was just coming to see you.
Oh, yes, Pete. What did you want?
Your blood.
Come again, Jim.
So, you're not getting married after all.
How did you know?
I heard you telling Alfie, saying she was loud-mouthed and vulgar and all the rest.
Well, I was a bit upset. Mind you, she's certainly no lady.
That does it. Get your coat off, Whittle, before I knock it off.
What do you mean, Pete?
Come on, put your hands up. I'm going to give you the hiding you deserve.
Please, gentlemen, let us have no violence.
Oh, quiet, Mr. Craythorpe. Get your watch out and be the timekeeper. I'll referee.
Hey, you stop encouraging them.
You go upstairs and get a towel.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a second.
I mean to stuff in your mouth.
Whittle, are you going to fight or are you a coward?
Oh, what is this? Have you gone mad?
Ask this flat-faced fiancé of yours.
Flat-faced fiancé?
It will be flat when he takes his foot off it.
Go on, Whittle. Go on, here she is, my loud-mouthed, vulgar, drunken daughter. Go on.
Father, how dare you talk about me like that?
That's what Mr. Whittle called you when he told Alfie he wasn't marrying you.
Me? Mr. Whittle is marrying Ethel Bell.
But I took it down on the tape recorder when he was in the front room asking you to marry him.
I was telling your mother about Ethel.
Oh, heck.
So, you eavesdrop with a tape recorder now, do you?
I'm sorry, Mum.
Well, it was a storm in a teacup. Still, everything's all right now. At least we won't have a fight on our hands.
No, from the look on Grandad's face, it's going to be a massacre.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair's grandfather, Patricia Burke's mother, Leonard Williams as both Theodore Craythorpe and Harry Whittle, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan. Also appearing were Brian Truman and Barbara Miller. The recorded programme, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
I thought you'd like to know I'm all right. Mr. Whittle came to my rescue when I was attacked by the wild Highland bull. I didn't like what he said, though. He said it was Alfie's fault for tempting me, dangling a carrot in front of a junivile donkey. But he was pleased he's not marrying Mrs. Bell. As he said, that woman doesn't want a husband, she wants a sparring partner. Ta-ra! Thank you.